Grace to you and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our text is a section of the Old Testament lesson just read, specifically Isaiah 40, 31. Those who wait on Yahweh will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. Please be seated. This is a warning. What you are about to hear is a foul homily. It will be a very foul homily. In fact, I dare say it might be one of the foulest homilies you will ever hear. To clarify, the foul I'm talking about is not spelled F-O-U-L. We know that foul is reserved for baseballs that go outside of chalk lines, basketball moves that are less than legal, and words that are less than becoming. No, the foul I'm talking about and the foul our text talks about is spelled F-O-W-L, as in, you guessed it, birds. Actually, in the ancient Near East, birds were often used to make a point, to deliver the message home. In Exodus 19, Yahweh tells Moses, "You saw what I did to Egypt, how I brought you on eagle's wings." Outside of the Old Testament and concurrent with our text, the Assyrian king Sennacherib says of Hezekiah the Judean king that he captured him, and I quote, "like a bird in a cage." So today, birds will be used to make a point, actually several. Isaiah is speaking to people in our text who knew of the Exodus eagle's steadfast love, who had redeemed and liberated their forefathers from bondage in Egypt. But Isaiah is also positioning himself to speak to people who would someday know the captivity, not of Sennacherib and the Assyrians, but of Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. What had caused this imprisonment, this captivity? Well, let me explain. Using some foul ideas. Judah had been like a vulture, attracted to what is death and dying, indeed passing away, trusting in foreign alliances. Woe to you who go to Egypt, who trust in horses, in the multitude of chariots. Judah had also been like a peacock. Peacocks go around strutting their stuff. Isaiah 3, "The women of Zion are haughty, walking with outstretched necks, flirting with their eyes." Judah had been like a chicken. Chickens love the low life, grubbing for worms. And Judah was living in the low life, refusing to see Yahweh high and lifted up. And yes, Judah had been like a parrot. All talk. They balked at the walk. Yahweh had had enough. "Stop bringing me these meaningless sacrifices," from his first chapter. Yes, Judah had been like a magpie. Magpies are rude and crude and callous and insensitive, and their eyes were blind and their ears deaf and their hearts were fat. And Judah had even been like a crow. Crowing, carping, complaining, critical of Yahweh's prophets. Their liturgy included, "Stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel." The result? Birds in a cage. The whole lot of them, they received from Yahweh's outstretched hand double for all their sins. These foul ideas must continue. For you and I have been dirty birds as well. Like vultures, we too are attracted to what is death and dying, indeed passing away. Paul, Romans 8, the mind of sinful man is death. Like chickens, we are content with the low life, grubbing for the worms, refusing to set our minds on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And yes, we have been like magpies among our peers, our family members, rude, insensitive, callous, peacocks, thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought. And we know there's always something to crow about, right? The result? Birds in a cage. The whole lot of us, we sang it, but we confess it too. We walled us in this house of doom where death had royal scope and room. To such people who are bound in captivity, Yahweh speaks a word of comfort. He tenderly speaks upon hearts, and from our text, the first word is wait. Wait. It can also be translated hope, and here the ideas kind of intermingle and mesh together. It's to be understood as a hopeful waiting, a waiting hope. It's a confident anticipation that this God of the Exodus will do it again. And he will. It's guaranteed. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. And this word guarantees another exodus, another liberation. Indeed, every mountain will be made low, and every valley will be lifted up, and the rugged places level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of Yahweh will be revealed, and all mankind will see it together. Isaiah says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, Yahweh's doing a new thing. It's a new exodus, a new liberation. He will bring his people out of bondage, back to the promised land. It all points to the ultimate deliverance of the ultimate deliverer, who Isaiah says has several names: Emmanuel, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And the Spirit of Yahweh will be upon this servant so he can proclaim good news to the poor and bind up brokenhearted people. Indeed, he will proclaim release to prisoners, in the acceptable year of Yahweh, indeed the endless jubilee. And all of this will climax when this servant is wounded for our transgressions, is crushed for our iniquities, when Yahweh places upon him the iniquity of us all. Through thorn and thirst, spear and spit, darkness and death, so that this righteous servant justifies many and sprinkles nations with redeeming blood. That's why Isaiah says, wait. Eagles only soar as they position themselves high on a rock and wait for the winds. And when the wind comes, the power is in the wind beneath their wings. That's why Isaiah says, wait, the wind will come. Jesus said as much to his church, didn't he? Wait in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And Luke tells us that 10 days later, the waiting was over. And in Acts 2, the Spirit comes, and Luke says that Spirit is like the sound of a mighty, loud wind blowing and delivering all of those gifts one in the death and resurrection of this servant. Now, liturgically speaking, we are positioned in the season of Pentecost so that the wind can blow. We have witnessed the servant's birth, baptism, ministry, crucifixion, resurrection, glorification, all so that the wind can blow. Jesus tells Nicodemus that the wind blows where it pleases. And it has pleased our God for the wind not just to blow anywhere, but in the gospel preached in conformity with a pure understanding of it, and in the sacraments administered according to the divine word, for there, and we say only there, is the wind blowing. Because there is where Jesus is forgiving sins and liberating. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And the result of all of the wind blowing, I dare say it, a foul sermon, a foul day, a foul life, a foul ministry, but not any old foul. Soar on wings like eagles. Eagles have the best eyesight of any bird. That's why Yahweh tells Job that the eagle sees his food and detects it from afar. The eagle can spot a rabbit 2 miles away when he's up in the sky. The New Testament talks about another eagle, old eagle eye Moses. And the Hebrew writer says that Moses persevered because he saw him who is invisible. See, eagles see, but eagles are also committed. Yahweh tells Moses in Deuteronomy 32 that the mother eagle hovers over its young, doing whatever it takes to teach that little eaglet to fly. So those who are eagles know the words of another eagle in the damp, dark, deadly Mamertine prison in Rome, where this eagle named Paul said this: I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. You see, eagles can see. Eagles are committed. And eagles are alive. They stay fresh, energized. That's why Psalm 103 says that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The eagle preens himself every day. He blows upon his feathers because overnight they may have become matted or stuck together. And then he secretes a liquid from a gland in his mouth so that his feathers are waterproofed, steam cleaned, and waterproofed. Paul understood this. Our baptismal theology gets it. Outwardly, I am wasting away. Inwardly, I am being renewed day by day. No wonder the proverb writer writes this. Three things are amazing for me, and four I do not understand. And the first of those four is what? The way of an eagle in the sky. Amazing, isn't it? No longer vultures or chickens or parrots or peacocks or magpies or crows. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And all this is not by my might, not by power, but by Yahweh's spirits. The winds that even now blows and liberates and frees and forgives. And so with Martin Franzmann, we also make this our posture today. Breathe on thy cloven church once more, that in these gray and latter days there might be those whose life is praise, the highest praise, a doxology unto the Holy Trinity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.